Our show today is about the intersection of science and education, making science education more exciting, using science to help people study better, and getting scientists to use simple language. We're going to start with math.
See how if I lay these out, you get the big triangle? We gotta connect them.
I recently went to an event where kids were building a Sierpinski triangle. It's a structure used in geometry. Basically, it's a triangle made of triangles made of triangles, and the kids were having a lot of fun. They were assembling these triangles of all sizes from thousands of Kinex pieces. That's basically a nerdy version of Legos. And the math professor leading this effort, Victor Donet, he said he wanted to get kids excited about math.
I believe that everybody starts out loving math because math is about patterns and shapes. But unfortunately, with so much standardized testing in our educational system today, there's a focus not on the beauty and the excitement of mathematics so much, but more on the technical skills.
Donet told me that he's really worried that not enough kids leave schools with the math skills to get into science or tech. And I've heard this from a lot of people. Less than half of students who start college thinking they'll pursue a STEM field end up doing it. And often it's math holding them back. Some college math departments are deciding they want to change the way they teach this tough subject. Karen Shikurji reports.
It's about 11 a.m. on a warm winter day at San Diego State University, and I walked into a classroom where a couple dozen students in t-shirts and shorts are hanging out before pre-calculus begins. The room has no windows, it's tan and fluorescent, but the kids, they're energetic.
Anybody else need a penny? Everybody got a penny? If you need a penny, raise your hand. I got some up here.
Bob, a recent graduate, is running things today, goading students into thinking about the question at hand. At what rate might an infectious disease spread?
All right, so get up and meet new people. Introduce yourself, shake hands.
10 different people, please. 10 different
students people. Pair up and they each flip a penny.
Remind me of your name?
Jorge. J-O-R-G. Okay.
And then I'm Lauren.
Tails means you get the disease, heads means you're in the clear. They do this data collection for 10 rounds, noting down heads or tails each time.
I don't know why I've gotten all tails. I mean, I don't know if it's probably a coincidence, but it's just weird.
They sit down, and now it's time to understand what it all means.
So, Julia, what did he give you?
He got tails.
He gave you tails?
Yeah.
Man, people just dying. It's like the plague.
And when the fun ends and the projector screen comes down and Bob starts saying things like Y is 1 when C and A and X is 0, despite the change from fun class activity to a discussion about data points, it looks like the students are still engaged. They're watching Bob graph results onto a chart using exponential functions.
So using these points, we can substitute. What any base to a power of 0, what's that?
So this isn't exactly the way a lot of us might remember college math.
It's very different. I've heard that they're trying to make a lot of changes, and to some extent, we're definitely like guinea pigs.
This is Julia Maria Escobedo, a pre-med biology major.
And we don't do multiple choice. It's actually all free response. So that was really different for us. But yeah, I'd rather change happen now than never, you know.
San Diego State has revamped their math program this year because D, F, and withdrawal rates got as high as 35% to 50%. And as a powerful report from the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology, or PCAST, pointed out 4 years ago, failing math grades don't just mean low GPAs. Mathematics is a core component of careers in engineering, technology, and science. So failing leaves kids who want to go into a STEM field in a difficult spot. Also in that same report, less than 40% of students who plan to pursue a STEM major actually do it.
Yeah, it's quite a number. And there's going to be the need for a million more STEM graduates in the next decade than we're currently producing.
This is Chris Rasmussen, professor of mathematics education at San Diego State. He researches how students learn and teaches math to future math teachers.
So I think people started looking at their courses and saying, we can probably do better.
In 2010, Rasmussen did a survey asking math departments nationwide about how and why they teach math. And he came up with something like a recipe for how to teach calculus, one of those ingredients, active learning.
So what I mean by that, there's first of all, there's deep engagement in mathematics by students, and there's lots of peer-to-peer interaction. So classrooms in which students are building up ideas for themselves rather than passively sitting back and listening to someone else do the thinking for them.
In education, questions about how we learn best and teach best and test best are all hot buttons. K through 12 schools have been grappling with Common Core guidelines in the 40-plus states that have adopted it. Common Core is a pretty complicated set of guidelines, but the philosophy of it all is basically what Rasmussen is talking about, active learning.
If you look at the math practices in the Common Core, a number of those practices are about doing mathematics in rigorous, authentic ways.
But colleges and K through 12 schools aren't following each other. It's more like two different animals who seem to be hunting for the same thing. And some say it's not a coincidence. In a recent report from the Mathematical Association of America, authors reference a powerful 2014 study right at the top. Researchers analyzed 225 studies to answer one question. Is active learning actually better? They compared failure rates from undergrad STEM lecture and active learning courses and found that, on average, 66% of students pass in lectures and almost 80% pass with active learning.
This results in much better student success and also benefits those students, underrepresented minority students and women students. So it begins to close some of the gender gap and other gaps that are present.
That 12% difference might seem small, but it's kind of huge. Hundreds of thousands of students take intro STEM courses each year, 300,000 in the U.S. for intro biology majors alone. So a 12% increase means that tens of thousands more students could continue in STEM with active learning. But some experts caution against thinking of any one particular teaching method being the method for student success. James Milgram, professor of mathematics emeritus at Stanford University, says that especially for advanced math, discovery-based learning is inefficient because complex problems take a lot of time.
What these courses represent are thousands of years of development by very, very bright people. You cannot effectively get to that level with having kids try to reproduce for themselves thousands of years of development.
For schools like San Diego State, with 30,000 students, making all classes small and discussion-based isn't really an option. There are only so many professors to go around. If you have one professor teaching 150 students versus 30 at a time, it saves a lot of money. So at SDSU, TAs or even undergrads teach the active sessions, and students take a combination of both, active sessions and lecture.
Okay, what about negative one? If I plug in negative one, what do I get?
In a large classroom at SDSU, a graduate teaching assistant is standing at the front going over problems on a whiteboard. The graphs and charts look like a drawing of a complicated highway system. From my vantage point at the back of the classroom, several students seem tuned out, tweeting or texting or Snapchatting. But one student, in a red top and matching red Converse, sitting right in front of the teacher, is following along closely. After class, she tells me it's not exactly her first time taking pre-calc.
My name is Chelsea Castillo-Adame. I am a fourth-year student at SDSU as a pre-med major.
Chelsea always knew that she wanted to be a doctor. At 18 years old, she enlisted in the Navy Medical Corps. When she left 5 years later, she knew the transition back to civilian life was going to be tough, but she wasn't prepared to feel so unprepared for, of all things, math class.
Halfway through that class, I was failing everything.
That class was pre-calculus at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. She was getting D's, and she says she was doing better than most of her classmates.
I would leave classes and exams literally in tears. Like, I went to the bathroom and I cried after my math exam, almost every math exam. And it was very humbling to go into the professor and say, look, this is me. I am so frustrated. I'm bawling my eyes out, and I know this material.
Now, Chelsea is an overachiever for sure, her words, not mine, but those tears weren't just about getting D's. She needed to pass pre-calc so she could take chemistry, a pre-med requirement. With only so much scholarship money, she considered her options, stay and retake pre-calc in the same way or go elsewhere in hopes of doing better. Now at SDSU, she says things are different.
It's not a matter of, okay, put this number into a calculator and get that answer. Anybody can do that, but can you understand what's happening within the math?
Rasmussen, the math education professor at San Diego State, is analyzing data from another recent nationwide survey, in part to figure out how many schools are doing what.
44% of all the respondents said that active learning is very important for student success in the pre-calculus to calculus 2 courses. That's an amazing number to me.
Because 10 years ago, he says, 44% of math departments wouldn't have said active learning is very important, but only 17% of departments say they're successful at it.
So there's an awareness of the need to do something more reasonable for students, but also an awareness like, we're not really sure how to do this yet.
As for Chelsea, she's loving math again. Next semester, she's going to start tutoring.
Once you get it, it's completely fun to me. And if I'm able to teach it in a way that maybe other students can help and that I understand it, then that helps me learn as well, too.
For The Pulse, I'm Karen Chakurji.
This piece was produced in partnership with the Hechinger Report.